or smuggled an explosive into this prison cell with him.
You know how he smuggled that in?
I mean, I don't know.
No, Nolan!
No, say how he did it.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hey.
And he's Nolan. And this is episode 142. You two noobs both now own a Nintendo Switch.
Easy.
That's true. Well, my wife owns a Nintendo Switch.
Does she share with you?
Occasionally.
Probably not.
I played a little bit of the demo of Octopath Traveler this week.
Nice. There you go.
Bill now owns a Nintendo Switch. Who else in our Discord that we know of?
Tom.
Tom. Everybody's getting a Nintendo Switch.
Everybody.
We've talked some on and off air about some of the games that are coming up, especially around E3. Out of all of the games that are on the horizon for the Nintendo Switch, which one or two are you most excited about?
Smash Brothers.
You'll play
you
it?
Are?
Yeah.
That's surprising to
me. Wait, have you played any of the other Smash Brothers?
I've played a lot of the 64. I haven't stayed up with it since
then.
Dude,
it's been decades.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, it's a retro game now, but...
Wait, it hasn't been decades,
No, not decades, but, like, a long time. There have been, like, 4 games.
I won't play competitively. I won't care about the meta, but it'll be a fun game to play through. Like, it's just... It's the quintessential, if you have people around, it gives everybody something to play together game, even better than Mario Kart. Like, it's a social-defining kind of game, and it's worth owning.
For Nolan's bachelor party, we sat around and played Super Smash Brothers for hours. That was great memories. Nolan, what about you?
I don't know. What's an upcoming game?
You're like more Switch boy than any of us.
I know, but I'm blanking. Like, I know there's games. I'm just not thinking of them at all. So if you have a list, that would help.
You've got those Pokemon games. You got Metroid Prime 4.
Yes. But that's a ways off. That's
well, sure.
We don't even have... I think at a Direct later this year, they'll have something. But it's coming out probably late next year.
You got that Yoshi game. That Yoshi... Nah. We don't know much about that.
Nah. But. They're killing the Yoshi series slowly.
You've got the Darius Cosmic Collection, which is going to be a compilation featuring Darius Twin, greatest game, the greatest.
That's
going to
be on
game.
Switch.
I just saw it as I was looking.
I feel like you're lying just to justify your feelings from last week.
I saw it and I was like, oh my goodness, it has 8 of the Darius, like I think 6 or 8 of the Darius games.
They like sort of chose to include Twin in there because they were putting the others.
I'm remembering. I'm most excited for Fire Emblem, which is coming out early next year, like in spring. So that's very hype for me.
It's going to be a good one. I've told you guys I plan on getting a Switch soon.
You've actually decided?
Idea of it. I never thought it was an actual plan.
I don't know if it... Okay. Maybe plan was too strong of a word. My wife is continuing to ask me about it, push me in that direction.
Yes.
I don't know.
You need one.
Yeah. Well, if I do, then pal, we'll be able to play the Switch together at last.
Golly. That's all you got?
Someone say pal?
That's all you got?
Pal?
That's not even how you say
it. Not
Join
even.
Us as we talk about our retro game of the week. Pal!
That's not
POW, it. Prisoners of War.
Overview.
I feel like every POW should be offended, like the actual ones, by your pronunciation of the acronym.
McCain listening right now?
Yeah.
POW, or Prisoners of War, is a side-scrolling beat-em-up, POW, originally released as an arcade game in 1988. The following year, a home version was released on the NES. And this week, we did play the NES version, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. All the way around, Nolan, you too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The versions don't differ in any major ways. So there are three buttons on the arcade instead of two. You can play as two players on the arcade instead of just one on the NES. I guess that's a big deal. And then there's a few changes in enemy characters, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, there's not a lot different. I was checking out the arcade version, and the biggest thing that I could tell is the multiplayer.
Yeah. It was developed and produced by SNK, which you've probably seen or heard of before. They've done some other classic fighting. They're like huge in the fighting arena, like Fatal mm-hmm. Fury, Samurai Showdown, some
and
other
arcades. They own yeah. Neo Geo, so that's a really big.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, like they produced all of those Neo Geo yes. things.
So then, big arcade company.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also developed the Metal Slug series, which we yes. played.
Oh yeah,
the Metal Slug game is a part of this. So they've got some good titles connected with them, and this game, as I mentioned, came out in the late 80s, and so I mean, I was very, very young. Nolan wasn't even born.
Nope.
Kenny was
like
graduating
already
high school.
87 yeah. at that point. Yeah.
But I don't know if this caught on to any of you. I'm wondering if it did with Kenny. I'm very interested in this. So this was like in an era where war was super popular, right?
Yeah, and like oh, yeah, Vietnam I remember this. Type of games, like for some well, reason. Like, or,
and not
or
just
Rambo?
Games. No,
movies,
like,
yeah,
movies
yeah, Rambo,
and
all that.
Everything. And so like, did either of you go through the war as cool phase?
No, never. I always thought it was lame for some reason. It wasn't my thing.
A little bit. Not like bad, bad. But I mean, I grew up right in the middle of that being a thing. So, yeah.
It just wasn't. No, I didn't like that.
No, I think, Nolan, you and I are probably a little bit too young to really catch on to that. But there was an era there where, mm-hmm. where I mean, it was the height of G.I. Joe and yeah. Rambo and all of these things. It was everywhere. And so when little boys, in particular, saw these
ripped dudes with yeah. tanks on and head bandanas,
yep.
near shirtless, holding a machine gun. Like on the cover of this, he's not even shooting the machine gun; no. he's butting the machine gun into yeah. a guy's face.
It's more manly that
which
way,
which is and it's game accurate. Like,
yeah,
well, yeah, I mean, you can do that for sure. But like when a young boy in the late 80s, early 90s sees this, he's going to be drawn to it, and. And many were. It was in the arcades during this time, and it's about a no. I think he's that. This guy doesn't have a name. It's
he
not
has a,
in
he
the,
has a code name. It's code name Bart, but that's not given as his actual name.
That's not even a good
that's
code,
not a code name.
Name.
That's some dumb name.
My code name Jeff.
I think that's a great code name.
Bart.
Yeah, but Jeff like, and Bart. I think both are
code name Damien.
Wait, I thought it was like when you have a code name, it's got to be something like Snake
007
or no. yeah,
or Snake, yeah, Solid Snake.
The whole idea is it's Bart. Something generic and boring so that people don't know who you are.
Anyways, there's not much story in this game. He's a no-name prisoner, codenamed Bart, who intentionally became a prisoner.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They yeah, sent
he's
him
like
in. It's
elite.
An inside job.
He's an elite special forces yeah. guy who lets himself be captured so that he can then take out this whole enemy plot.
They were confident that they couldn't come in from the outside in, so they're going to go from the inside out.
There you go.
Yep.
And they sent one of their own, a highly trained operative, to become a prisoner of war, hence the name of the game, PAL, so that he could then
Hurts
break out of
time.
The enemy camp and kill the general. That's the plot.
That's it, yeah.
Basically.
There's no other story there. You just go from level to level doing exactly that, fighting enemies, scrolling from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, sometimes climbing up or down, and defeating enemies, getting upgrades so that you can get to the very end of the game and defeat the general.
Gameplay.
So after a little cutscene explaining that plot, your screen goes to black. Bart, we'll call him that.
I'm not.
your prisoner is standing there in solitude in what we find soon is the middle of his cell.
And Homer's over there like, what are you doing, son?
And somehow he has gotten a grenade or smuggled an explosive into this prison cell with him.
You know how he smuggled that in.
I mean, I don't know.
No, Nolan!
No, say how he did it.
Oh, I don't know. It's he's special forces. Print. He probably built it out of stuff in the room. He MacGyvered it.
It's in the manual where he was hiding that thing.
No, it's not.
With pictures.
Oh my goodness, you guys are ridiculous. So he takes this grenade, presumably this grenade, rolls it across the ground, it explodes, and he breaks out of his cell. And so once he's free, he then jumps out and starts beating people up and taking their weapons and their armor and their brass knuckles and fighting his way out of the enemy camp and towards the boss.
Yeah, it's a beat 'em up. You punch people with actual weapons. That's it.
Or with your fists. You start without any kind of weapon. You punch, you kick, and Kenny, you figured it out?
Oh, I mean, you can punch, you can kick, you can like jump kick, and you can punch behind you.
Okay, but you it didn't seem like you knew the jump kick in your first play, but you had played this before.
I had forgotten about it, but I realized this week that was there and ends up becoming a pretty important thing for you to master if you want to do this game well. Like that's a key move.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kenny is better than me at this game. I don't know about beat-ems in particular, but in watching so if you haven't yet, go to our YouTube, watch Kenny's very big first play, because you'll be able to see he's pretty good at it. Like, you get through the whole first stage without dying?
Yeah, I did a level and a half before I game over it, I think,
but you pretty easily did that. I feel like you even gamed over as just like, hey, I got to end this video, but like...
No, I wasn't doing super well. I mean, I stepped it up from there later in the week, but it was definitely one of those... At least your preconceptions about how the enemies move and kind of the patterns you have to do to not die as much was a little bit in my brain. I had mentioned last week that I played this game as a kid, not a lot, but a good amount. It was in my collection. And so if you come in with that even little bit of edge of kind of what you're needing to do, it goes a long way. It really does.
This was your Darius Twin, like how Darius Twin was for me?
Yeah, I kind of. Like, probably ended up better at this game. Oh, I mean, I don't, like, think it's the best game of all time.
Hate it.
You're going to be that guy and try and Darius Twin venge me,
Darius
aren't you?
Twin you.
Well, before we keep going with more of the gameplay, a quick disclaimer. It's not good.
What?
how
can
my
you
gosh.
Just start with that?
You can, because it's not good.
No, it's you not. Can't say it because and then give the exact
yes, I
thing
can.
You just said.
Yes, I can.
Well, we need to talk about why it's
not really. We no, don't do. Really.
It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, so it's similar to other side-scrolling beat-em-ups in that regard, where you walk from the left to the right, the screen scrolls, you have to fight some enemies, and then it scrolls again.
It's a little bit repetitive.
Oh, it's a lot of bit repetitive.
That's the one thing I'll give you against this game.
No, you'll have to give us a lot more than that, but we can start with that. It is very repetitive. You've got... You're never really, like, swarmed with enemies. It's just that they end up taking so many hits to die eventually.
And they have awkward hitboxes.
Yeah, they've got slightly awkward hitboxes. All you can do is punch,
I'll also
kick,
seed that.
And do an awkward jump kick. Then you can slowly get their weapons. So I think the different weapons are what? Brass knuckles.
Knife.
Right. There's a knife you can pick up and then throw once. It's like a one use. You can pick up a gun.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Grenade.
And you can pick up grenades. Yeah.
Yeah. The machine gun has limited ammo, but you can also use it as like a blunt object to smash into the enemy's face as well.
To save ammo. Yeah. Like, if there's anything that I'll say was okay about the mechanics, it was that. Because you have a certain amount of shots with the machine gun. Yeah. And in certain cases, you just want to use it to butt people in the head instead of shoot.
You want to know what else I found out? That if you're almost completely done with ammo, if you get hit, drop the gun, let your enemy pick it up, and then knock it out of his hand, you can re-pick up the gun with completely full ammo.
Whoa.
Wow. That's actually a kind of cool
That happened
little...
to me?
Yeah,
I just never noticed.
So it's a good strategy if, like, because the gun's super powerful, obviously. Yeah. Because
it's a pea shooter.
I pretty much you do once, you know, one shot. It shoots a few bullets, but if it hits someone, they're dead.
Well, I did that, but I never noticed the bullet count going up. I didn't spam the gun a lot. I used the butt of it because I was paranoid about losing ammo. And it's like really slow if you do that. So I didn't get
very far.
I was
always afraid I was going to get hit because I didn't feel like the hit with the gun was as responsive as kicking or punching.
Right.
And so I would try and punch people and it would turn out badly. So I tended to give up. And when I had the gun, I just mowed people down for a little while and it was easy mode. And then I would go back to normal play.
You've got a few different enemy types. You've got the ones that just come at you and try to punch. You've got some that come at you with a knife. Every once in a while, you'll have someone with a gun. And then later on, you get like some ninja type guys that are doing all sorts of flips in the air to try to get you in rolls on the ground.
You get some scuba divers. That's fun and novel. You get...
Well, no, hold on. You've got scuba divers.
Yeah.
That's all.
Why not?
Fun or novel?
Sure, it is.
It's
one of the few enemies that like the mechanics fundamentally change as to how you fight them. So in the context of this game, it's both fun and novel.
No, you just watch it. You just watch them jump in the water, and then they come out and fight you like a normal person.
There are mermaids in other games, Kenny.
All right.
You don't fight mermaids in this game.
I've never fought a mermaid. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. But can we go back to my point?
No.
Kenny, you got further in the game, and so you know that eventually these enemies take so many hits to put down. And
yeah, they get tougher. They follow the normal trope of like basic enemy type, like two or three different basic types, and then variations of that, where some of them get a weapon, some of them get some kind of special attack, and that it goes from taking one or two hits to taking a whole bunch of hits, just depending on, you know, which enemy you're fighting. It's the whole Foot Clan thing, or Ninja Turtles. Like, it's normal.
Well, no, don't compare it to that, because that's a great game. I'm saying that, like... That's my problem with it, is that I don't think the variety is there. I think that you do... here's what happens with the Foot Clan. You... And by the way, we're talking about some of the arcade Ninja Turtle games. They adapt and they change and they have a complete... Yeah, they might take a few more hits, but that's not the main focus. It's that they act differently. They attack differently. In this game, you've got some slightly different attacks, but then later on, you've got some very similar guys that you've seen before with the very similar attack patterns. They just take 20 hits to completely knock out.
Yeah, I feel like the only variation was the like coloring and animation. Not even animation. They all had the same like look and feel to them.
It's not hugely different, but you get at least a little bit of variety there. I agree it's not like the game's strong point, but I don't know. I feel like you guys are overstating how bad it is.
What would you say is the game's strong point?
Oh, I mean,
gameplay-wise,
I think we are in completely different camps on this game because...
No, you don't.
I do. I think this game has a lot of strong points. I'd have a hard time
the motorcycle?
Just picking one.
Wait, you're having a hard time even picking one.
No, I think it looks great. I think it sounds great. I think it's fun and thematic. I think difficulty, they hit a sweet spot in terms of both length of play and in being challenging, but without being overbearing. I think you could use more variety of upgrades, but the upgrades you do have are rewarding.
This is hysterious.
I literally think, besides being a little bit repetitive and being a little bit dependent on kind of learning boss or enemy patterns and repetition, it's a wonderful, wonderful game.
What?
Wonderful.
I had to do a Wario.
I agree with you. It's an absolute treasure. What
it is.
Let's talk about the level designs then, because you named
great.
A few things there.
I'll take this away.
I want us to just talk about like what is it that you either, you know, whoever that you dislike about these level designs or that is so spectacular about
these
level designs.
So the level designs are nothing to talk about. They are just left to right, and there's nothing unique about them. You climb a ladder one time. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, level design's a little straightforward. You do have your side areas that you have to clear for your upgrades.
But you don't have to.
No. It's
optional.
You
can walk in rooms.
It is nice that when you walk into those that you're forced to clear them in order to go back out. I feel like that's a kind of nice gambit of if you choose to go after the upgrade that's in the side room, you don't have a choice. Like, you're going to clear this or you're going to die trying. Yeah, level design's a little linear.
Very on brand with POW.
But then for the most part, your stages are just like typical kind of like think like a military camp. Like that's just kind of what you see over and over again. So you see these like 10 buildings and you see these little communication towers and then trees. And that's basically it. Every once in a while, you might end up in like a more wooded area or a cave-like area, but
honestly, you say that like that's not the setting of the game. Every level has a completely different tile set. A few of them are a little uninspired, but for the most part, they look great.
What do you mean? I don't agree with that. I think that they are largely uninspired and that they.
No way. The cranes, the tank, the exposed I-beams, the different setting every time you get to a new level. I think this game looks great.
Yeah.
What's an exposed
I-beam? I was going to ask.
Oh, like on one of the levels later, you get some of the like structure of the building on the floor that's like open up and it, I don't know, it's like the I-beam, the big metal bar that's there, but it's under your floor and it just looks good. It's little details
beam.
They threw
in. I was thinking laser beam.
Wait, no.
Bean?
Beam. Like in construction, a metal beam.
Right. But I, E-I-E or
no, I like the capital I. If you ever see a big metal support that from the side looks like a capital I, it's like flat on the bottom and then a big tall thing flat on the top. Like, they're used all the time. That's
so
an
you
I
gotta
beam.
Know construction to enjoy this game.
No. You guys are ridiculous.
It's a prerequisite for POW.
The fact that I have to describe what an IBM is making me roll my eyes at you.
Shall we move on to aged, or is there something in gameplay we want to talk about?
Hold on. First of all, this podcast is so good when we're talking about I-beams. People are going to flock to this podcast by the millions.
You need to change the category to educational.
Educational. I don't know if there's much else to talk about gameplay. One other thing is the bosses. You've got a helicopter on the first stage. You got a fat man in an elevator at some point. I didn't get there, but Kenny, I know that at the very end, you've got the general commander, whatever his name is, that just flips around like crazy the entire time.
Yeah, Postmaster commander, general. Shirtless, 10-foot tall, David and Goliath fight. That's a little ridiculous, but totally fits the trope of that the game's going for.
And near impossible unless you've got the cheat code to have like 20 lives. Like,
you can
hold
do
on.
That.
Kenny, you beat it with save states, right?
Because I did use save states this week. I think given enough time and commitment, I think this is a game I could easily, not easily, but I am certain this is a game I could beat without.
With your 3 or 5 starter lives, that's all?
I believe him.
You get more lives as you go. At certain, every 30,000 points of, you know, enemies killed, you gain a new life. And so it's not like, if you go through without losing a single life in this game, which is not going to happen unless you're ridiculous and overplay it, you know, like speedrunner style amounts of overplaying, but people do it. But if you go through this game without losing a single life, you'll end with probably about 9 lives at the end. So you're getting more lives as you go.
The HUD shows your score and the high score, and it says you high. So I think you high, Kenny. Let's move on.
Life you high. You've got your life at the top. At least it's not one hit kill. You've got over on the right, you've got the amount of lives you have, which is just signified by a smiley face times the number.
Which is great.
And then you've got your little weapons or upgrades there, and you'll randomly grab letters along the way.
Yeah, what's the A?
Having no idea what you'll have an A, you'll have a G, and you'll have no idea what those mean.
A few of them are pretty obvious. You grab the L and your life bar refills.
Yeah, but what's
the
A?
Only one that's not obvious, I think, is A. And as soon as you take it, the next time a projectile comes at you, it gets deflected. And then it's pretty obvious that it's armor.
Hey.
Okay, that makes sense now.
And then what's G?
I think G is when you have the gun in your hand. And so, again, it's really obvious. Like, you've picked up a gun and you're now shooting it. And then it goes away when your gun gets out of ammo.
I think...
Pow!
Yeah.
Aged.
All right. I'll kick off Aged here. I've got a lot prepared. So, it's... I don't know. You already know my thoughts based on gameplay. It's not really... It didn't age well, obviously. It wasn't a good NES game. I think it may have been better on the arcade.
Why? I will give you that it might have been better at the arcade, but not that it makes the NES game
Oh, I don't think I would like it if it was on arcade. I just think that the NES port was especially bad.
I don't buy it.
What, but why? Like the graphics are flickery. The entire game, the hitboxes are off.
Yeah, there are a few like fair complaints. The it's not even laggy because it doesn't really affect performance. But
no,
you
it's
do
not
get,
lag.
But
it's
you do
the
get
flicker.
Right. You do get flickery graphics just based on motion, and that's a little annoying. And it's just age. I wish that was better, but it doesn't affect gameplay. Things are still really responsive.
No,
it doesn't slow down.
There are times where you can't even see the enemy that you're hitting because of the amount of flicker. Like there's an extreme amount of flicker at times.
Yeah, it's not great. That element of the game is not great.
Okay, what did age and what is great?
Your controls work fine. They feel fluid. You have a couple of different hits that work well. The lanes and the hitboxes are a little obnoxious, but once you learn them, they're just fine. It's like any game. You have to kind of get the vibe for how that specific game feels.
I would say this. There are other games where lanes have bothered me more. Now, when I'm shooting the gun, that's where I've had issue. But with my like physical hits in this game, the lanes didn't really bother me. And we played other games as a part of this podcast where lanes
where they do it really poorly
are the biggest point of concern. But
I agree.
I didn't figure lanes were my main point of contention here.
It's easy at some point to be standing in front of not standing in front of an enemy and not realize it, but you quickly learn how to make sure that you're either going to get hit or not. Like it looks obvious.
I will say too that I don't think the music is bad compared to a lot of other NES titles.
It's on theme.
It's on theme. I don't think it's bad. It's not distracting. It's long enough so that it's not looping incessantly. But I don't think that it's anything memorable at the same time.
I think some of the early levels do a better job of it than later levels, which may, taint you guys' opinion. But I think level 2 and 3 kind of stood out to me as, that fits what's going on really well. Later, it feels, a little more heavy-handed or forced at some places. But I'd agree. I think, and again, this is where we may really disagree. I think it did a better job with the graphics than it did with the music. But I think both of them were good for what the game was.
That is where we'll disagree. I'm having a hard time understanding why you enjoy the graphics. I think they're largely uninspired. There's nothing special about them. The character model himself just looks like a knockoff Ryu. I don't know. It's just not special to me. The enemy, the differences in enemies, it's just a recoloring, like for the most part. The stage designs I've already talked about, I think that they're unimpressive. Like,
I don't know. They added plenty of sort of extra elements to set the scene. I felt like they were going for not realism, but kind of this realistic feel of being in an enemy like war camp. And again, each level looks different from the others. They do variety in the look and they aren't going for like flashy comic pretty style. It's just going for like this is a war camp. And I don't know. I just thought they did it well. I really did. I don't know why. There are some places where their implementation wasn't great, where there would be some graphical glitches and some of those kinds of things. But in terms of the design with what they were working with when they were making the game, I thought they tried to make it look nice.
I don't think the theme aged well on a lot of these games, really. Like, not just
that POW. I'll agree with.
Like, it's just a weird, outdated, like, why was this enjoyable kind of theme for me?
It very much was like culturally relevant to want to be Rambo then and is not now. You know what I mean? So that I'll totally agree with, like it being much more relevant in 88 than it is in 2018.
One of the things that I do think ages poorly is the way that it scrolls. I don't know if you guys even took notice of it. I mean, it was a big frustration to me. But in a lot of these scrolling games, after you clear the enemies, it kind of scrolls automatically, or if you start to move to the right, it scrolls. In this game, you have to touch the right side of the screen to get it to scroll, which is often very dangerous because you've got a guy on a motorcycle coming at you from that side and will auto hit you, or some other guy with a knife or a gun or whatever. And you're trying, with your limited lives and your limited health, you're trying to do whatever you can to not get hit. And when you get hit just because you're having to move the screen, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a totally fair frustration.
I noticed that, but like kind of forgot about it. It was super annoying though, because a lot of the times, you're right, these games will have like an arrow that's like, go, 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 and the camera will move ahead of you. But yeah, that's just not here at all.
Like, don't get me wrong, as much as I'm sitting on the, like, this was overall a positive gaming experience for me side of this episode, clearly, I don't want to overstate. Like, it's not perfect, and one of the things that's not perfect is the fact that if you are forced to, yeah, be on the side of a screen, Dustin, and you don't know where your enemies are coming, it's just, it punishes you for not knowing the patterns. And so it's one of those games, if you want to be successful at, you're going to have to play it more than once. And I feel like that's not great game design, but I feel like kind of was games at this time. I feel like, I don't know, it doesn't ruin it for me.
I'll say one other thing is, and I've mentioned it already, but I do think that the game starts off, with a fair difficulty, but then I think it just ramps up to like NES level of difficulty. And we talked about it. Some of these early games are like that. There's no checkpoints or saves here. So if you die, you start the game completely over. It's not an extremely long game, so you could potentially get to the end. But with the amount of hits it takes to kill enemies later in the game, not necessarily the amount of enemies on a screen. You only have four, maybe five at a time. It's just you're going to still be punching one when another gets behind you and is able to attack you. And that's how they overwhelm you. And it becomes very, very difficult later on, or halfway through the game. And I think the difficulty is, it doesn't age well.
I don't like how they did handling some of the difficulty things. But you do get continues, and I forget how many there are. But if you are into the game, like past the first level and die, and you hit continue, it will start the game at the last at the level that you died on, beginning of the level. But there is that continue option at the home screen, which helps a little.
That helps a lot. I didn't even take that into consideration.
Yeah, the fact that you do have a life bar, though some of the stuff hits you really hard, certainly helps a little, and you're given upgrades to help you stay alive. But it is very hard, and if you take hits, they account for a lot. So it is definitely one of those games that it is learn to not get hit and learn to control where the enemies are on the screen and kind of herd screen positioning as part of the strategy, which isn't going to be rewarding for everybody. But you can punch behind you, you can punch in front of you, and there's ways to deal with it. So it's hard, but I feel like it gives you extra lives. It gives you some life reset. And so it didn't ever feel punitively, punishingly, impossibly hard for me. But it's a hard game.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down for the game. Do we say, find a copy of it and play it, you'll enjoy it, or reserve your retro gaming time for another retro game? Requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or another. I think we should go Kenny, Nolan, Dustin.
I think that's probably fair, since most people know exactly where we stand. I'm afraid I'm about to get Darius twinned, and maybe I like it for similar reasons that you did last week, Dustin. And I'm certain nostalgia is probably tinting my view a little bit. But even outside of that, and even being aware of that, I feel like this is a hidden NES gem. Beat 'em ups aren't for everyone. This specific one may not be for everybody, but the things they do, they do well. And I don't know. I feel like it can be a rewarding little game and one that is worth people knowing about. And that once you get a little bit of the hang of it, it will be difficult at first, that it will feel enjoyable to make new progress and to beat a game that would be challenging otherwise. And so new game plus for me for a number of reasons and not just from nostalgia.
That is one thumbs up. It only requires one more to become New Game Plus certified, Nolan.
Yeah. For this genre to be good to me, these beat-em-up games, they need a better theme. Like, that's really the only thing that will keep me playing it. So this is it's not a beat-em-up, but Sunset Riders had an amazing, fun cowboy theme. What are other ones? Double Dragon?
Dragon has a better theme than this for sure.
Yeah, like they just have a vibe going and they're known for it and it's iconic. So the war thing is so flat to me. And in fact, it's a chore to play through games like this. So like that combined with a slow beat 'em up, it's just not, it's not a good time. It's not a good look. It's a really, really bad game. I would never want someone to play it. You don't need to know about it. Like, at all, had no impact on this world. No New Game Plus at all.
I can sympathize with Kenny because last week we played a game that I had some attachment to from my childhood. And due to that, I had some rose-colored glasses coming into the game and
It's also because you were successful in playing the game, which majorly influences how much fun somebody has.
But I think some of our success, yours in this game and mine in the previous game, had to do with our relationship with it as kids.
I think a little bit, yeah.
But at the same time, I agree with Nolan when it comes to theme. However, I feel like I maybe a little bit more than Nolan can move past theme onto some other aspects of the game. However, I just think there are too many other far superior beat-em-up games like Double Dragon, like Battletoads, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade games, like the we talked about Bart, like the Simpsons arcade game. It really is a beat-em-up. Yeah. My feelings on this game is just neutral. Like, I don't think there's anything completely abhorrent about this game, but I don't think that there's anything outstanding about it either. I think it's kind of just right there in the middle, and so I do not give Pal my vote.
Oh my goodness. I don't give you my vote for New Game Plus, saying Pal every 3 minutes this episode.
That's what it's called.
Meaning Prisoner of War does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. Pal.
The best thing about it is the jump kick animation. I liked it.
No, it's so bad.
It is kind of awful. And it's very right. Like Chuck Norris. It's overpowered.
Do I not like retro games? Is this a thing?
No, we just all have very different tastes. We often have like an outlier.
150 episodes in where we come to the realization, hey, we don't like old video games.
I don't know if I like this.
No, that's not true. We like many old video games. In fact, you can go through our catalog and find out that I'd say right around 50% of our games get New Game Plus certification, and then the other half don't. We found that statistic to be approximately true with our last retro recap. But it's always interesting to play these games along with friends and those that follow and listen to this podcast. A few of you were talking in Discord this week about it. Some of you sent in some emails. I'd like to read a couple of those now. One from Brad's Gaming. He said, I am pretty new to the podcast, but really love the show as it keeps me sane while I'm working on the road.
Nice.
This is my first week being able to play along with you guys, and I was pretty excited to see how my opinion lines up with everyone else's. I never heard of the game before the podcast. Now, my thoughts are that the game's not terrible, but it's just so average, it makes you just want to play Double Dragon instead. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone personally. I didn't get very far, basically got to where Kenny did in his first play, and I felt like I saw and played enough of the game at that point.
It has mermaids, though, so.
You did miss out on the mermaids.
No, thanks for writing in. That's awesome that you listen to us on the road.
In this case, you and Dustin share an opinion. So I don't know what that's worth.
It sounds pretty similar.
He used the word average, and that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Marty also wrote in, he said, I didn't get very far in this game, but I felt like I got the gist of what it had to offer. It's fine. I thought it was a pretty standard beat-em-up, though, and it left me wanting to play better beat-em-ups of the same era. Similar to Darius Twin from last week, this game is the best game I've ever played in my entire life. No, he didn't say that. Similar to Darius Twin from last week, this game is serviceable, but not particularly memorable.
Serviceable?
It's a good word.
What does it mean?
I do have to say, oh, like passable, like it'll do its job. Oh, okay. It serves its purpose. Yeah. I do have to say, if you get to the end screen on this game, it is so rewarding. Not because you've beaten the game and feel a sense of accomplishment, because you do, but because you get an awesome, like, good job you did it screen with the most stereotypical, like, Asian language typo of all time. And you get your hero with a big smile and a thumbs up holding a girl. We don't even know why or who she is. That wasn't part of the plot.
Because theme, that
and
was part of the trope.
And a giant fist bump from other special forces guys in the background. And then it says, congratulations!
Oh, no.
Kenny,
not well, congratulations. No. Not congratulations. Congratulation. Literally spelled like that. And it
they
is...
just
hilarious.
Phonetically spelled it out. Kenny will take a screenshot or find it online, I'm sure is there, and post a picture of it.
That's
in Discord.
Great.
Oh, well, it's
when
great.
When he does his weekly visit to the Discord. And so you can, after listening to this episode, you can go find it and see that picture and laugh along with us. Thank you for Brad's Gaming and Marty for sending in your thoughts. We'd love to ask you to send in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com, and we'll include your thoughts as a part of our episode. But now it's time to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing. For the next 7 days, it's going to be a different... Hey, wait. So we did my childhood game. We did Kenny's. Now, Nolan, we're about to play what?
No, we've already played Star Soldier.
That was your childhood?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
That you liked that we didn't? I thought we gave it New Game Plus.
Oh, okay. No, we
did.
We
need to find a gym. We need to find something you are fond of that we can just like brutally beat into the ground in front of you. For equity.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
We'll randomly find it right now.
I play good games.
Nolan, tell me if this sounds like your childhood gym.
Okay.
2001.
Sounds right so far.
Published by Nintendo.
Sounds right so far.
Came out for the Game Boy Advance.
I'm on board.
This is your game. We hate it. Kenny and I hate it.
Yep. Not it getting New Game Plus, no matter what.
I'd be surprised.
A role-playing video game that is on the GBA, came out in 2001, mm-hmm. and it is a part of the Golden Sun series. In fact, it is the first installment in the Golden Sun series called Golden Sun.
I mean, like, go ahead and give it... No New Game Plus. Like,
we
seriously,
don't like it.
Try. I would
just try to. Yeah. It's that good. I don't know. I never.
Oh, wait.
Did
so you have
GBA.
Really played it before?
Yes, and I love this game a lot.
Kenny, have
Perfect.
You played it? I have not.
I haven't, but I know what to do next week.
That's really funny. That this is kind of how these three games have happened like that.
But like, it's not that old at all, and so it's not like gonna be bad. It's not.
Wait.
That's not how
you
games
can't
work.
You can't start talking bad about retro video games.
Literally, the whole point of our podcast is that that's
no,
not how games work.
My point in saying that was the longer it's been since the game came out, the more hurdles you may have to get over.
Okay.
That's often
I think that's true a lot of the time.
It's often true.
1988. Come make some new friends in our Discord channel or just come troll us and scream. We don't ban anybody. that's not true. Do not do that. It'll piss me off. We have a Discord server. Go to our Twitter. Find an invite link.
Hey, special thanks to all of our patrons who support us on an ongoing basis on patreon.com. You guys are the best. Hope you enjoy all the extra content that you get for your support. And a big shout out to our big three supporters at the producer level, Zion, Bradley, and Gimbarino. We appreciate it.
Three.
We also want to thank one of our new patrons. We failed to do this last week. You sent in an email this week, so thank you for doing that. And welcome to the family, Marty.
Marty.
What can up? We just call
I've
him
Marty
Bart?
In Discord.
We can't call him Bart.
Okay. Marty? I think we should give code names to all of our normal
Marty?
Listeners.
Everyone's code name is Bart. That what it is a code.
You can find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. It's NGP Podcast for the first two, and it's / New Game Plus Podcast, the coolest retro podcast ever. We don't really like retrogames.com.
Yeah, it's the whole YouTube. Thing.
No, but it's just New Game Plus Podcast on YouTube. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any other podcast provider. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And if you would like, leave a kind 5-star rating and review. As always, we want to thank our editor and producer and friend, Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Golden Sun. Let me do that one again. Cut that, strike that. And here we go, Tom. Join us next week as we bash Golden Sun. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Bart.
Woo!
I'm Bart too. And this has been POW! New Game Plus. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby. POW!